Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Football Social Daily, the Premier League podcast.
Welcome to Football Social Daily, your Premier League podcast from the Sport Social team. It may be transfer deadline day, but the biggest deal of all might have been done on the sidelines. Everton have appointed Sean Dyche as successor to the sacked Frank Lampard. Is the Ginger Mourinho the man to sort out the mess at Goodison Park? It's the first time in more than 10 years that he's managed a club that isn't Burnley, so Claretts fans will know better than anyone else exactly what Dyche will bring to Merseyside. My name's Niall, and joining me to tell us exactly what Evertonians, and indeed the rest of us, can expect from a Sean Dyche-led Toffees is Joe from Turfcast, the Burnley podcast, which is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. How are you doing, Joe?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. I've missed Sean Dyche in the Premier League. I really have. I think he was a proper character. He's obviously gone into Everton to replace Frank Lampard. You know him so well, having watched his teams for the last 10, 11 years before Vincent Kompany took over at Turf Moor. So do you think Dyche's the sort of man who can bring everything back together at Goodison Park?
I think so, yeah. I think when you look at what they could have had, it felt like it came down to Bielsa or Dyche, which to me suggests that the hierarchy at Everton didn't really have a clear plan. Bielsa, in a typical Bielsa wacky ways, came in and said he wanted to manage the under-21s, 23s, whatever it was. So they said, nah, forget that. We'll bring Dyche in. And they've proper landed on their feet in that decision for me. I think Bielsa's kind of made the right decision for them, if that makes sense. If Bielsa came in, then they would have been all over the gaff with Everton. You know, it would have been the wrong decision. They'd have probably been running to the ground early on with so many injuries. You know, the defence would have been all over the place, and I think they'd have gone down. But Sean Dyche is going to come in. He's going to play 4-4-2. He's going to get two banks of four, and he's going to make them hard to beat. And, you know, the next game is Arsenal away, I believe. I know it's Arsenal, whether it's at Goodison or at Arsenal. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it won't surprise me if that were a 0-0, because he's going to set up in that way. I know he will. He'll set up two banks of four, just behind the ball, with the strikers dropping in behind the ball as and when they can, and just trying to win the game on set pieces and things like that, and just defend Arsenal out of it. And I think the last time we went to Arsenal with Sean Dyche, we drew 0-0. So it's one of them. I think it will be maybe a shock on the cards there in that game. But that's what they can expect. They can expect him to come in and just shore up the defence, shore up the midfield, and just stop conceding so many goals. They might not start scoring goals. that's never been sort of like a characteristic of one of Sean Dyche's sides. But they will defend very, very well.
Having watched Sean Dyche's first interview as Everton manager, he keeps talking about earning the right. He must have mentioned that five or six times through his interview. What do you think he means by earning the right?
He's one of them, is Sean Dyche. He is proper old school manager, so you will have to earn the right to be in his team. Everton will have to earn the right to be in the Premier League. All he will ask from his players is that they leave 100% out on the pitch. If they go out on the pitch and you know they lose narrowly or they lose on, you know, in an unlucky way, then he'll never be too bothered. But if someone went out on the pitch and didn't show 100% commitment and wasn't 100% committed to the cause and left everything out on the pitch, then that's when Dyche gets frustrated. So certain players, you know, they might be in for a bit of a rough time. I saw some pictures on the Everton socials yesterday of Dyche taking his first training session, and they all look knackered, which to me tells me a story that maybe, you know, the previous management hasn't really been putting them through the paces in terms of fitness in training. But that's one of the first things you can do as a manager, isn't it? I think that's the easiest thing you can improve straight away, is improve players' fitness. And there was a saying at Burnley, like, is he fit? Say somebody like come in, for example, like Corney, it'd say stuff like, oh, he's fit, but he's not quite up there. And it'd be one of them with Dyche and Burnley fans. It'd be like, oh yeah, Cornet's fit, but he's not quite Dyche fit yet. You need to be Dyche fit. You need to be able to run through walls. You need to be able to do things like that. And it seems to me like Dyche fit has arrived at Everton when I'm looking at them pictures yesterday. So that's another thing that they can expect. They can expect the players to have high fitness levels.
Yeah, he said in that first interview that also he expects his players to give everything. And you expect that from every club. I mean, any fan of any team up and down the land will expect their players to give 100%, but let's face it, it's not always the case, and some might suggest that that wasn't really there at Everton under Frank Lampard. And you mentioned his relationship with the Burnley fans. Obviously, it was great at Turf Moor when Sean Dyche was there, but he also seems to be the sort of character that doesn't tolerate any disrespect. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that is fair. There's a lot of sort of like rumours about sort of like the last season. Apparently, him and Cornet didn't get on, and Dyche wasn't having it. I think this is part of the bit where at Burnley, like this might sound like a negative, and Everton fans might not want to hear this, but it did feel like at Burnley that he eventually lost the dressing room. But let's be honest, he was there for 9 years, and Burnley weren't bringing in players and signing players and things like that. But there was a lot of rumours of situations where people weren't necessarily showing him respect, and he wasn't having it at all. But yeah, there's always been one of them. It was same with sort of like when we signed Ben Gibson. Ben Gibson wasn't respecting Dyche, according to the rumours. He wasn't respecting the club, and he was just immediately shipped out on loan to Middlesbrough. Well, not even on loan. Just it was sort of like place like right. You're not playing for Burnley anymore. We can't get you out of this contract. We can't sell you instantly. So you're just going to go and play elsewhere for Middlesbrough and things like that. But he was just training for them. But yeah, he definitely just demands respect.
Sean Dyche has already asked for time, Joe, something that Everton managers haven't really had over the last few years. Frank Lampard, I think, had just under a year in post. Do you think in that time, let's give Sean Dyche a 12-month time frame, do you think he'll be able to turn things around? Because he needs to get started pretty quick, because Everton are in the bottom three and staring down the barrel of relegation at the moment.
Yeah, I think he will, if given time. 12 months, I mean, I do think he'll keep him up, and I think that'll then give him some more time. I think the problem with Lampard was the players just didn't look like they cared. As we mentioned earlier, they didn't look like they were putting it all on the pitch. They didn't really look like they had an idea. They didn't really look like they had a plan. They didn't. I know a few Everton fans and follow a few Everton podcasts and things like that. And I think a lot of them just were always saying like, don't even know what the tactics are. Don't even know what the plan is. You will see that with a Sean Dyche team. You will definitely know what the tactics are. You will definitely know what the plan is. It might not be pretty. So then he might get criticism on that side of things, because I know Big Sam got a lot of criticism from Everton fans for doing things like that and that way. But they will definitely have a plan. It does need time, though, to get Everton. You've got to remember, like a lot of people always see Burnley as just this team that finished, you know, 17th and 16th for the six seasons we were in the Premier League. Obviously, that's not the case. We finished in the top half, I think, three times, seventh once. You know what I mean? If Sean Dyche can do that with Burnley, he can do it with Everton. But the problem with Everton, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, apart from at boardroom level, because let's be honest, Everton are a club that's pretty much, you know, not rotten through the core. That's a bit extreme, but they have issues at boardroom level, and they also have issues at fan level. I think the fans just aren't very patient at all. And don't get me wrong, fans should be allowed to express their concern. They should be allowed to express their opinions. And if things aren't going well, they should be allowed to let the players know about that. But chasing cars down the street, constantly booing, throwing season tickets on the pitch, it's just not good, is it? It's just counterproductive, and they do need to stop that. But it'd be a very brave man to chase Sean Dyche's car down the street, wouldn't it? So I'm not sure any Everton fans will be doing that anytime soon.
Well, it was the WWE Royal Rumble at the weekend, and often on this podcast over the years, we've had debates about who would win a Premier League Royal Rumble, and Sean Dyche was always in the last three or four competitors. If there was, I think it was him, Troy Deeney, yeah, and a few others that were always going to stay in there. But yeah, Sean Dyche is certainly a character that doesn't seem to take much messing. And as for you, as a Burnley fan, Joe, I don't think anyone at Turf Moor knew what life would be like after Sean Dyche. Obviously, the club sacked him. They took a gamble. They ended up dropping into the Championship at the end of last season. Nobody was quite sure how it was going to go, but it's been brilliant this season. How have you enjoyed this campaign so far under Vincent Kompany?
It's probably been, so far, my favourite ever season following Burnley. And that's saying something, because, of course, we finished seventh under Dyche. We won the Championship under Dyche, going 23 games undefeated. But with the, I mean, as a big, like I said, as a big criticism about Sean Dyche and his style of play, I've never been bothered about the way that my team plays unless we're winning games. I don't care if we go to Old Trafford and stink the place out and win 1-0 or whatever. We've won the game. That's all I'm bothered about. I am not there as a Burnley fan to be entertained. I'm there as a Burnley fan, as a fan, just to watch them win the game. Whereas if I'm watching a neutral game, yes, I want to be entertained. So it's never been much of a thing for me with Burnley. But now we are playing in a certain style and we are playing in a certain way and winning games week in, week out. I think we've on a ridiculous run at the minute. That's 6 wins in a row in the league or something like that. Only lost twice all season. Playing very good football. We've been gone through phases where we've just blown teams away. Not so much at the minute. We are winning like 1-0s, 2-1 sort of thing. But again, we're not playing bad football. But because of the style of play, it's been much more enjoyable. And I say that as somebody that's never been that bothered about it. And I'm still not that bothered about it.
Yeah.
I would rather we win the game 1-0 and play terrible than draw the game 4-4, for example, playing in a perfect style. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And the fact that we are currently 17 points clear of third tells me that we are 100% going up. And you can clip this bit. If we don't go up, feel free to clip it and make me look like an idiot at the end of the season. But I will put my house on burn. Like, it's going to take a ridiculous point swing. Like I said, we've lost twice all season. So I think for us to be caught, we'll need to lose 6 games between now and the end of the season. And that's if Middlesbrough win every single game. Like, it's just, with respect to Middlesbrough, they've turned the corner and they're doing very well under Carrick. But they're not going to win 6 more games than us between now and the end of the season with the way that we're playing and the way that we've been. And of course, in January, we've strengthened as well. So we're only going to get better. Scott Twine's come in as well after being injured for the most part. We've brought in Lyle Foster. We brought in Michael Obafemi. I can only just see us getting better. Honestly, I really, really do. And I'm really, 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 really enjoying this season. And I'm looking forward to see what we can do next season in the Prem.
I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised you're so confident, Joe, because as you say, you've won your last 5 on the bounce in the Championship. You're miles clear of Sheffield United and Middlesbrough in second and third, respectively. As you've already highlighted, does that come, though, albeit with all of the happiness over the way Burnley are playing, does it come with any concerns over perhaps players being pinched or Vincent Kompany moving to a different club next season when you are in the Premier League again?
Slightly, but I think at the minute Vincent Kompany's only like, what, 6-7 months into his reign at Burnley. There's already been rumours. I heard an Everton fan ring up at a national radio station and sort of like say that he wanted Kompany for their vacant manager role when it was vacant, obviously before Dyche come in. So people are obviously noticing what he's doing. I think it's going to be one. It would surprise me if he left like now, 7 months. It would surprise me as well if he left next season. I think if he is going to leave, it might be after next season, if he's kept us up or we've finished 10th and somebody comes in for him. Obviously, somebody's got to come in for him. I think the natural progression, the obvious progression would be City, but I think City might be a little bit reluctant to take him after only working at Burnley. Look at what Chelsea did with Lampard. They took him too soon and it didn't work out. City might have half an eye on that. So who knows, if Brighton lose their manager again, Brighton might be a decent fit. But then I can't see us being, I say this is how confident I am at the minute, I can't see us being too much behind Brighton next season, because they're as good as well as Brighton are run, and I said this to a mate yesterday, like they seem to get sort of like decimated every transfer window to Brighton, but they just seem to get better. Like every player gets pinched, the manager gets pinched, and then somehow they are just better. That just shows how well run they are. So this might sound ridiculously confident, but I just think next season, I think Brighton will probably not have a great season, as good a season as they are doing this season. And I can honestly see us next season potentially being between sort of like 14th and 8th and in that battle, because of how well... I think we'd have to strengthen. Like, I'm not saying that the current crop of players would do that. But every single signing that we've made this season has been spot on. Vincent Kompany clearly can tell what a good player is, of course, because he was one himself and he's played around loads. His recruitment has been spot on. He's been backed by the chairman, Alan Pearce. So I could just see us getting even stronger next season, if I'm being honest with you, and then potentially not really looking over our shoulder, kind of doing similar to what Fulham have done this year, something like that. I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. But there is a slight concern about him being pinched. But I don't think it'll happen just yet. I think it'll be about another 18 months until some major noises about that begin happening.
Love it, Joe, and love the confidence as well. And you can understand why, with Burnley absolutely flying at the moment. And Joe discusses all of the Burnley Championship games on his podcast, Turfcast. Where can people find it on social media, mate?
Yes, so of course the podcast is available on Spotify, Sports Social, of course, iTunes and all the other places. But on social media, just search Turfcast Podcast on YouTube. YouTube's the one that we're trying to push quite a lot at the minute. And of course, Facebook, we've got around 11,000 followers on there, so feel free to add yourself to them numbers. Twitter's been going mad recently. We've got around 8,000 on there. Same again, just Turfcast Podcast. Instagram, Turfcast Podcast. TikTok, Turfcast Podcast. Or TikTok is the one that I probably should use more than I do.
I'm not a TikToker, Joe. I'm not. But if you're a Burnley fan listening, make sure you check out all of those social channels and indeed the YouTube page of the podcast. Turfcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Joe, great to chat to you, mate. Hopefully the next time we speak, Burnley have already got that little P next to their name in the table.
Yeah, well, we should be looking for that round about March, I think, with the way things are going. And just looking at the fixtures, we play Blackburn Rovers away in March. So there's been some rumours and some excitement about potentially getting promoted at Ewood Park. If we got promoted at Ewood Park in March, that would be insane. I remember seeing when the fixtures came out, I said to my dad, I'm like, oh, it's a bit early to get promoted there. But with how well we are doing, we could get promoted in March at Ewood Park, but that would be insane. And to be honest, I've just spoken about how I think we are going to get better. I can't see the gap staying around 17 points. I think it's going to swing either way, isn't it? So it's going to be interesting to see if we do get promoted there, but it's probably wishful thinking, I think.
I tell you what, Joe, I'll speak to you in about 6 weeks then, if that's going to be the case. Yeah. I'll speak to you in six weeks. Whenever it happens, whenever Burnley go up, we'll get you back on the show. Joe, great to speak to you, mate. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Always good to hear the thoughts of the fans here on Football Social Daily. And if you are a Burnley fan, then why not check out Turfcast, as we say, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Just how will Sean Dyche get on at Everton, and just who will he bring through the door on transfer deadline day? We'll be bringing you a special podcast tomorrow on FSD, rounding up all of the big Premier League transfer stories. And there have been some absolutely wild moves on the cards. We'll go through it all tomorrow. Hit subscribe, that way you won't miss it. And then on Thursday, we'll be speaking to a former Wolves and West Ham United player who knows exactly what it's like to move for big money during the transfer window. Matt Jarvis will be joining us. But until then, that's it. We'll catch you next time on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily is a VoiceWorks sport production for the Sports Social Podcast Network.